Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and then in Psalm chapter 51. We'll be using those two verses of Scripture for our text this evening. A fellow went to the hospital to visit his dying partner, and suddenly the dying man began to speak. And he said, "John," he said, "before I go, I must confess some things. I know I'm going to die, and I want you to know that I robbed the firm of $80,000 several years ago, and I did something else. I sold our secret formula to our competitors. And also, John, I'm the fellow who supplied your wife with evidence that got her a divorce and cost you a small fortune." And John murmured, "That's okay, old buddy. I'm the guy who poisoned you." I'm glad the pastor read to you tonight that excerpt from what is happening in our world today. Believe me, this nation of ours is going downhill very fast. And if something isn't done to stop it, God only knows what's next. And this is one of the reasons that I want to bring this message to you tonight. Revival or ruin? It's America's choice. We decide what it's going to be. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now look at Psalm 51, verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now may we bow our heads, praying, asking God His blessings upon this message this evening. Heavenly Father, we are indeed a needy people. We've gone astray. We've taken the wrong road and find ourselves in a very dangerous situation. And we need to stop and take inventory and then be willing to do something about it. Holy Spirit of God, take charge of this service tonight. Speak to every one of us through your word, because your word is true. And for what is accomplished, I will be sure and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me begin with a statement. We Christians need to pray and believe God more now than ever before. Let me say that again, because I want it to sink in. We Christians need to pray and believe God more now than ever before. We need to pray that God will send a mighty, devastating revival that will sweep America from coast to coast. I believe we are dealing today with supernatural forces of evil, and we must pray, therefore, as never before. I recall vividly one of the verses that President Eisenhower referred to in his opening inauguration speech before assuming the office of presidency of these United States, and it was a text for this message. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This is one of the greatest texts found in the Old Testament. It contains the heart of the whole philosophy of revival, and it is desperately needed in our day. This is the method that has been followed by the church down through the centuries when great revivals have come and changed the course of history. And I believe the first duty of a people seeking revival is humiliation before God. And our pride and haughtiness of spirit has grieved God and certainly has brought dishonor to His name. We Americans are a proud people, and it seems that pride has been our stumbling block. And God said pride comes before the fall. God says, humble yourselves, because that is the recognition of sinfulness, that we see ourselves as God sees us. Prayerfulness, therefore, is one of the greatest characteristics of a life being lived for God. And yet, millions of Christians today have absolutely no prayer life. The only time they pray is when they're in trouble or they want something. They're like a human body which lies in the casket. It looks natural, but life has departed. Prayer is a human lifeline between God and man. And without it, we as a nation are dead. The Bible says we must seek God's face. And God said if we will draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. You see, He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace and seek Him while He may be found. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Now, if we come directly into the presence of our God in the name of Jesus Christ, His dear Son, God will hear, God will answer our prayer if we seek His face in sincerity and in truth. And then the Bible goes on to tell us that we are to forsake our sins until we turn from our wicked ways. And until we turn from those wicked ways, God will not, God cannot answer our prayers. He will not answer our prayer, for we refuse to forsake our sin. The fact, the Bible goes just a little further than that. It says, if we regard sin or iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Sin is the only thing that can separate us from God and induce Him to hide His face from us. Now keep in mind that sin dishonors God, no matter how small they may be. The first demand that God places on a human soul is that of repentance. We are to turn from our sins, forsake our evil ways, forsake our lying and pride and gossiping and all the sins that we are guilty of as Christians. And I remind you once more, there are four things we must do if we are to preserve this great nation of ours and eventually have revival. We must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek His face. And last but not least, forsake our sins. And then the Bible says, we are ready for the great and mighty revival that God will indeed send us. He will indeed forgive our sin. He will heal our land. And that's God's promise. And my God always keeps His promises. Oh, how spiritually parched our nation is today. Oh, yes, there have been, on occasions, some indication of revival. Perhaps a few breezes here and there. But nothing to really wake us up to what is happening to America today. We're like Rip Van Winkle, who slept for 20 years before he woke up. If the four requisites for revival are not put into practice in America and soon, if we will not voluntarily drop to our knees before God, then I believe the time will come when God will bring us to our knees. And I believe that may be sooner than we think because of the sin and degradation that seems to have overcome America today. Now listen carefully. God said if we would meet His conditions for revival, that we would hear from heaven. And that's a fact. And if you don't believe that fact, you check out history, and you'll find that's exactly the way God works. Now, let me tell you something. When you hear from heaven in the right manner, you will not be able to contain all of God's blessings. Do you know what it means to have forgiveness of sins? Remember, every sin is committed against God, and only He can forgive those sins. Tonight, let me refresh your mind concerning our sin. Jesus Christ died in your place and my place. He took our judgment, our hell, our suffering on that cross, and when He died, He provided a way that God could forgive every sinner of their every sin. Are you also aware, my friend, that sin can be buried in the depths of the deeper sea to be remembered against you no more? Now, you talk about the love of God. Where, I ask you, when can you find greater love than that? He will forgive your every sin, everything that you ever done in your life, no matter what it is, how big it is, how sinful it is, or how many sins. He will forgive and forget whatever you have done. God has promised us that He will heal our land. He will forgive us our sin. But we must do our part. We must live up to our birthright in Jesus Christ. We must recognize Him as the Lord of all and the only one that can forgive sin. All through history, God's people turned to God. When they turned to God, it always affected the entire governmental structure of any nation, and especially these of the United States of America. I believe that a great spiritual revival in our land and America would do more in a single year to solve our financial and moral problems, as well as secure us against international problems, than all of our politicians could accomplish in 100 years. Yet, for the most part, we don't have a spiritual revival because most Christians are not willing to pay the price of revival. Keep in mind that the church is the channel through which God sends His stream of blessings down to all the nations of the world. And that channel must be kept clean and clear. Otherwise, God's blessings will suddenly stop flowing. Now, the question is, are you and I willing, as an individual, to stand for God and stand up for this great nation of ours, United States of America? Will you humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn from your sinful ways? You see, it's your choice and my choice. Have we forgotten so soon the pathway of our forefathers, the high cost they paid for our freedom as well as our liberty. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul." One can readily observe the paths that most people are taking today. For example, our homes are devastated by immorality. For every marriage, there is a divorce. And many are living together without the benefit of marriage. We are killing the unborn by the thousands, yes, millions, every year. Crime and terrorism grips the world in fear, and people are seeking pleasure and release through things of this world instead of the Word of God and spiritual examination. How, I ask you, how in the world can God bless a nation that turns its back on God and all of God's requirements for us and then expect His blessings to rest upon us as a nation? It can't be. You can ask God to bless us if we're not willing to do something about the sin of this nation. One would have to be blind to be able to see our world and the United States in general is in a mess economically, socially, and spiritually. The only thing that's going to change the situation in the world today, as well as these United States of America, is the power of God and the willingness on the part of His people to seek the will of God and be obedient to the Word of God. Now, personally, I believe there's still a lot of good preaching going on in this world today, and especially here in the United States. But the problem is, people are not listening. They have not become doers of the Word. They're just hearers only. Our forefathers walked the paths of holiness and righteousness. Sin was looked upon as sin and was hated by the people of God. And the Holy Spirit was not hindered in His ministry of conviction and repentance. Today, however, it's entirely different. In a world with so much confusion, the Word of God has lost its power. And Satan, the prince and power of the air, is deceiving the very elect. Now, I'm not here this evening to throw cold water on anyone's life. And I'm not saying that life cannot be enjoyed and that there are indeed a lot of happy people in the world today. Because life is good to anyone who lives it in the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God Himself. But with all of our modern means of communication and transportation, with all the advances in the field of medicine and science, life should be enjoyed by every one of us. But first we need to understand where all these gifts and wisdom comes from. Yes, God is good, and God is gracious, and He gives us all the blessings that we need. And yet, even though we know these things, we still refuse to give God the glory and make Him number one in our hearts and our lives. Now, I say to each of you, therefore, with all the problems, with all the burdens of this life, the Christian can be the happiest person on the face of this earth when he or she makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Now, what does the future hold for America? And what will America's decision be? How are we going to respond to such things that was read to us tonight by our pastor? Many years ago, David of old stood and viewed the valley where victory or defeat would be brought to God's people Israel. And he cried out, "Is there not a cause?" He knew what was taking place. He was concerned. Is there not a cause? And then when Goliath, a giant, stepped forward and roared and threatened the Israel army. They were dismayed. They were fearful. The odds against them were such that they were afraid. But not David. David wasn't bothered by the size of the giant. He only heard what that giant was saying. There was Goliath, a giant, defying the living God. And David was not about to take that sitting down. Listen carefully. The battle is the Lord's. Don't you try to take on sin yourself. The battle is the Lord's. But our God is looking for men who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Satan is threatening America today. We need to wake up as American citizens and wake up as Christians. We've already slept far, far too long. And we need to be careful and be ready as God raises men up to lift high His standard. And Satan also will lift up opposition to God's cause. And if you recall, when David decided to stand for God against Goliath, what happened? His own brethren mocked him. And when Nehemiah began to rebuild the broken down walls of Jericho, what happened? He was faced with the opposition from the enemy. When Jeremiah spoke out for God to warn Israel, he was opposed by the religious crowd. Today, let's not kid ourselves. If we stand up and willing to be counted for God, we also will face opposition. I'm not trying to soften this. I'm telling you like it is and like it will be. I know some of you may say, well, why worry? I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. The rapture will take place soon and rescue us all and take us to heaven. After all, the Lord is coming back sooner than perhaps we even understand or know. Now listen carefully. We will be hard-pressed to explain that kind of theology to the millions of Christians that are now suffering persecution, mutilation, and massacre around this world today. Did you know that the 21st century has seen more martyrs for Christ than the first century? Think of that. More martyrs for Christ than the first century. Remember what Paul said? All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it will put a lot of Christians on the run. And because God is a God of justice, He will not allow America to escape His judgment for the sins which we have committed and we have tolerated and continue to rebel against this Word of God. He won't do it. Now, immediately someone says, well, Pastor, according to Bible prophecy, we know things are going to grow worse and worse until Jesus comes back again. So, why get worked up about this thing? There's nothing we can do about it. Things are out of control, and we cannot control them any longer. Fatalism is the word. Fatalism has never been approved by God in any generation, no matter how terrible the national or international scene may be. God said we are to occupy till He comes, and that word occupy means keep busy for God until He comes again. God's answer to His people has always been summed up in one word, faith. He's the God of all flesh, and nothing is too hard for Him. God does not call us to succeed. He called us to be faithful. Faithful to the finish, come what may. And remember, the battle belongs to the Lord, And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, he promised that the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Certainly, we all agree that the state of mankind grows worse with each passing year. However, we have every reason to stand up and defend the name, reputation, authority, and the standard of our Heavenly Father. And I ask each of you tonight to be honest with what you see and hear for yourself right here in the United States of America. Is there not a cause? There certainly is. David did not know for sure that he would defeat Goliath the giant. He simply believed God by faith and knew his cause was worth losing his life over, if need be. No Christian, no child of God who reads and understands this Bible believes that things are going to get better and better. They are not. But that does not absolve us of our responsibility to stand up for a cause that is far greater than our own lives or our own well-being. My responsibility as a pastor, as a Christian, as well as you who name the name of Christ, is to be faithful in all things to God Almighty. The results are God's responsibility. God has blessed America from infancy to world leadership. He's done so such as no other nation and the face of this earth today has been blessed. And I believe that became possible because America, in the process of development, was a righteous nation. We established the laws of our land on the Word of God and permitted freedom of worship and supported Israel, God's people, all the way. But in the last 60 years or so, America has drifted away from God and has fallen to the gods of money, sex, and humanism. As a result, America is facing the judgments of God militarily, economically, and morally. Listen carefully to what Jeremiah the prophet had to say in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 through 10. And let me paraphrase those verses so you get just a little more out of it. This is what he said, and I paraphrase. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. Now that's God speaking through Jeremiah. Then he says, if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. This evening, may I ask each of you a personal question. Who or what is to blame for America's present crisis? Now, I know some of you are probably going to say political corruption or humanism. And partially, you would be right. Some would say Hollywood or the gay crowd. And again, partially, you would be right. But I believe it's time for you and I to face facts. God is not only judging America because of the wickedness of the ungodly, but mostly because of the carnality and dishonesty and the disobedience of His people. Now, what more can I say? The rest is up to you and I. We condemn others, but we don't take any action ourselves. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Well, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? You can't load it onto someone else. They just take no actions. America's future is our responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. And we have put it off long enough. And I think it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ become serious about this whole situation. Now, let me ask you a question. What constitutes a real God-sent revival? Is it simply bringing someone in here for, say, a week or even 2 weeks? And he preaches to us and challenges our lives to live for Jesus Christ? Is that what having a revival is all about? Personally, I don't think so. They're good, but I don't think that constitutes revival among God's people. Let's not kid ourselves. Revival can only come when you and I face reality. There are no shortcuts to revival. No pretending. No illusions. It takes sacrifice, obedience, and truth on our part so that the Holy Spirit can bring revival in our own hearts and our own lives. Friends, revival is a personal thing. Honesty with God, honesty with yourself, honesty with others, and no compromise with the world. Revival is obedience. Obedience is doing exactly what I'm told to do, when I'm told to do it, and doing it with the right attitude. Remember, no man can serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Paul urged us again and again to contend for the faith. If we are to have a real God-sent revival, and I'm not talking about revival meetings, we must realize first we must die to self so that the life of Christ can be released through us. Now let me close this message by asking each of you a question. Do you believe the Christian, that's you and I, if you're saved, are the salt of the earth? If you believe that, say amen. Could you agree with a songwriter who said, "Then I bid farewell to the way of the world to walk it in it nevermore"? I guarantee revival will come to you and Central Baptist Church if you agree and put these principles into practice. Now, if you're honest with yourself, and you're honest with God, I believe from my heart, many of you tonight will walk down these aisles and make a personal commitment to God, that you, by the grace of God, will allow yourself to be used of the Holy Spirit to bring about a personal revival. Remember, whatever is accomplished depends on you and your faithfulness to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, I'm going to get personal with you tonight and tell you a way you can have a personal revival all by yourself. God could start in you. I read this from Gypsy Smith. How many remember Gypsy Smith? Anybody? Old-time evangelist. One day, a pastor came to Gypsy Smith and asked him a question. He said, "Sir, how do you start a revival?" And this was Gypsy Smith's answer. "You go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, draw a chalk circle around yourself, and ask God to start a revival inside that circle. And when He has answered your prayer, the revival's on in your life. I challenge each one of you tonight to put that formula to the test. It is a sure way the Holy Spirit will begin a revival in your heart and your soul, and Central Baptist Church will be changed overnight. If you would mean business for God, that's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Father, I pray now as we have this invitation, we know revival is needed in America. I believe that our churches are filled with unsaved people. I believe, Lord, that Christians are happy with status quo. And Lord, it's time to realize that even though all those live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, as we look through the Bible, we realize that all the heroes of the faith suffered persecution. But we call them heroes of the faith because, as Dr. Bloom said tonight, by faith. And so, Father, I pray that faith will not be a statement, but it will be a living word in their lives, a living action in their lives. Help your people tonight to come to this altar and to say, yes, yes, I will not hinder revival. I will do my best to help it in my personal life, in my church, in my community, in my country. In Jesus' name, amen.